Well, good morning, everybody. What a great day this is. And today we are talking about life. Everything today is about life. Our life and the life of Jesus, our Lord, our Saviour. It's an incredible story for someone to come back to life. And it's incredible as to what that means for us, what that achieves for us. So we want to talk about life all the time here. That's the overwhelming thing that we focus on this day. But it's a challenge thinking about that in our current context. From the passage we read, our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light, through the gospel. This is a Saviour who has dealt the final blow to death itself. He has accomplished completely what he set out to do and brought life, not just to himself, but to us. But as you look around, we see not life everywhere. We see death. We see distress. What about all of the trouble that there is in the world? What about the state that we are all in? We're all destined to die. That's our end. That's what our bodies do. And that death comes about in many different ways, often prematurely. It pervades everything that we do, and is the final end of all of us. So who do we turn to if we want to deal with these problems of the world? Well, you might look to these guys, right? These are the pointy end of a nation's security and defence. If you want to protect the nation, you call these guys in to help you. But they, of course, are not there to bring life. They bring death, in a sense. They use lethal force to bring about their ends. They get to choose who lives and who dies. They're not going to really bring about life. Well, maybe you want to go to their masters, right? These are the guys who call the shots. Between them, so much power and authority in the world rests in the hands of this group of people. The trouble is, some of these people are the very ones who bring about the strife, the tragedy, the death that we are talking about. And for some of the rest, they can talk about it, but they don't seem to be able to do much about it. Maybe you'll give up in total despair and want to call on these guys. We can hang around waiting for a superhero to appear and solve all of our problems. You might be waiting for a while on that. Right at the moment, given the state that we're in with coronavirus, you might really want to call on these guys. Now, they're doing a fantastic job in Australia and around the world at the moment. But even the best medical professionals in the world can't bring about life. They can extend life. They can delay death. And that's not a small thing. I've been the beneficiary of that myself. But they won't give you a life that you never had before. They can just put off the inevitable. So who are you really going to turn to deal with the big problem of life and death? And from where do we get our life? Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. There is a sense here that what Jesus is offering is overwhelming fulfillment in our current life. That it is not just the absence of death, it is a life brimming with purpose, with meaning, with fulfillment, with everything good that we would want in our lives. And it is not just in this life, because Jesus also said, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." Jesus is not just offering something for today, not just something for this year or this decade or however long our life goes on. He is offering something for eternity. He is offering something that goes beyond the short time that we will have on this earth. He's offering something that lasts forever with him. This is not a new thing. This is not Jesus just looking at the state of the world and saying, gee, we've got to do something about this. It's not a last minute cobbled together something to save us from the tyranny of death. This is something that God had in mind right from the start. In our series that we've been going through in the last couple of months called The Word from the Beginning, we started at the very beginning of Scripture. We started at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I said at the time, if you want to know about the fundamentals of something, how it all starts, you go right to the beginning and you start the story where it starts. But Genesis chapter 1 is only the beginning of creation. It's the beginning of where God swings into action and creates and brings about everything that we have. He brings about the universe and he brings about all living things and he breathes life into them. But God was in action. He was up to something before he even started that. So it's like building a house. You don't start to build a house by laying the first brick, by putting down the foundations. You start with the planning. You start with the design. How are we going to put this together? How's it all going to come out? If you want to sew a dress, you don't start by cutting the fabric. You start by laying out the pattern. If you want to bake a cake, you don't start by mixing the ingredients. You start with the recipe, which tells you what those ingredients are going to be and how it's all going to work out and how to go about it. So God started before the beginning with a plan. And we see in the scriptures just what that plan was about. In Ephesians, he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." Before creation, before God made everything, he had chosen us before we were even in existence. From Titus, "The hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time." Nothing else had got underway. Time itself had not begun when God purposed in his heart to give eternal life to mankind. In Revelation, it talks about the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. Jesus coming into the world to die and to rise again was not a last-minute thought. It was not something that he had to do in response to what happened in the world. It was something conceived right from the beginning, before the creation of the world, before everything else began. In 2 Timothy, the passage we read, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Already, God has his plan in motion. God has determined how it's all going to work out. He has worked out what it would take to create a people for himself, to create a people who would love him, who would be able to sit in his presence, who would be able to fellowship with him and be with him forever. This is what it would take. It would take the death of his one and only Son, our Lord Jesus. And it would take his resurrection again to conquer that death and to bring us into that life. 1 Peter puts it this way, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God." The resurrection is what allows us to see that God can bring about everything that he purposed right from the beginning. So this is how it unfolds. Before creation began, God had the plan. This is what he was going to do. When he made us all, the story through the Old Testament, before the coming of Christ, lays out the promise of what is to come. In all sorts of different ways and contexts, God shows what he's going to do, what he's purposed, what he's going to bring about, how he's going to save mankind. When Christ comes, that is the execution of this promise, and that's a deliberate double meaning. The Christ who was to come had to die in our place, but he rose again to show that death was not the end, death was not the finality. This was the execution of God's plan. This was the bringing it about, to enacting it, to make it effective. And when Christ returns, we will see the ultimate fulfillment, where we will have complete life, complete deliverance from the bonds of sin and the bounds of this life. We'll have full and complete life with him forever. The resurrection of Jesus shows that God makes good on his promises. What he intends to do, he can do. And he has the will and the power to achieve it, to bring it about. It is not a relief that Jesus came. It's a realization that this was always the intention. This was always what was going to happen. Not a plan B, not a make up for what went wrong earlier. From the very beginning, Jesus came to die and to live and to be the ultimate conqueror of death. Jesus has got this. In Romans it says, "Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. You see, the resurrection of Jesus was completely effective. It accomplished everything that he set out to do. There was nothing left out. There was nothing missing. There was nothing left behind. The resurrection of Jesus shows that Jesus has complete authority over death itself. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the spirit who lives in you. So that same spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is the spirit that lives in us. That is what makes Easter Sunday, as we remember the resurrection, so significant in the life of every believer, because it demonstrates the complete fulfillment and the complete power that Christ has over death in our lives. Everything that is wrong, everything that is not as it should be in this life, in our lives and in the world, Christ's resurrection shows that he can deal with all of that, no matter how bad it is. Jesus has got this. It's not like the medical profession where he is delaying our death. He has completely defeated it. He has completely overcome it so that it has no power over us anymore. And for that we are so grateful. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, how we do thank you that Christ is our Saviour and that he has completely defeated that ultimate foe, death itself. We thank you that you purposed right from the beginning that you would call us to yourself, that we could be your family, your children, your treasured possession. And we thank you that all of this is through what Christ has done because of his great love for us. And we love him, and we thank you, Father, for all that he has done as we remember all of that today. And we ask this and pray this in that mighty and victorious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's finish with a song.